Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. And so they went to work in the vineyard, and at noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw more people standing around. He asked them, 'Why haven't you been working today?' They replied, 'Because no one hired us.' The landowner told them, 'Then go out and join the others in my vineyard.' That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, they each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, 'Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat.' He answered one of them, 'Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I'm kind to others? So those who are last now will be first, and those who are first will be last.'" Sometimes, if we're honest with each other, or maybe it's just me, the thought has crossed our mind at least once in our life, God is unfair. Anybody ever have that? If you're honest, maybe just come through your mind. Maybe it was 10 years ago, right? 20 years ago, not now, not the people sitting in church. Have ever thought God is unfair? Anybody with me? Praise God. The three of you don't have to come next week because next week we're talking about lying. Man, I think if we're all human, at some point the thought has crossed our mind, God is unfair. We look around at the world and all these things that are going on, we come to the conclusion at times, at least crosses our mind, God is unfair. If we're really honest, what really crosses our mind is, if I was God, I would do it differently. If I was God, I would do it differently. And that begins to sound a little bit like pride, but if we got really honest, I think some of us deep in our hearts, we look at the way God does things, and we say, I would do it better. I would do it better. And it becomes a point of pride, because if we look at the scriptures and we see the people who protested, they were hired and worked a full day, and they didn't leave out the details. They said in the scorching heat. They worked all day in the scorching heat, and they got paid the same as some broski that showed up at 5 p.m. They didn't have to work through the heat of the day. Are you kidding me? I mean, I think if we're honest, maybe we wouldn't have protested because we're good Southern people. We would have shown some grace. We would have said, bless your heart, vineyard owner. Bless your heart, vineyard owner, paying people who showed up and worked 1 hour and they got the same as a full day's pay. But in our heart, right, that's not fair. Worked all day and got the same as somebody who worked 1 hour. That's not fair. But what's interesting to me is, if you had gone and asked those who protested at the end of the day, if you ask those same people at the beginning of the day, do you think the vineyard owner is unfair? I've heard, if you walked up and they said, I've heard rumors, this vineyard owner, he's unfair. He doesn't treat people very fairly. He's not very kind. He's not very generous. At the beginning of the day, those who protested at the end of the day would have defended the vineyard owner. They would say, what are you talking about that he's unfair? I was standing around town with nothing. I had no hope of food and putting food on the table for my family. I had no hope of anything. I was standing around doing nothing. He came by and he offered to pay me a full day's wage. He didn't try to give me half or one-fourth or try to skip by on me. He gave me a full day's wage when I had no other opportunities. At the beginning of the day, they would have defended the character of the vineyard owner. They would have said, I don't know what you're talking about. This dude is generous. At the end of the day, the reason they protested is not because what they got wasn't generous, is they looked at what other people got. The reality is, for us as humans, when we look at other people, that's when we tend to get jealous. When we look at what we've gotten or what we didn't get, we tend to get bitter. But see, If those at the beginning of the day didn't see what others had gotten paid, they would have been feeling generous. They would have felt like the king was generous. He took care of them. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. Humans tend to make their idea of God after what they see and what they experience. We as humans tend to put our idea of God through what we experience, what our circumstances are. And you may say, Philip, like, the world is unfair. Sin is unfair, and I would honestly agree with you. Right now, there's around 8 billion people on the face of this planet, give or take. 8 billion people. We've never had this many people living on the planet as we do right now. And if you have 8 billion people on the planet who are all sinful and all broken, I'm not sure what you're expecting to have happen. We're experiencing a world that never before has had this much sin and brokenness on the face of the planet. But it's not because of God's character. It's because of humans. Humans' character has got us where we're at. God's character has stayed the same from Genesis to Revelation. We start looking around at the world and what other people get or don't get, what we get or what we don't get, and now we define the character of the king as unfair. And that's because when we start looking at other people, we tend to get jealous. But if we'll look at God's character alone, we see that he is generous. The character of the king is generous. Sometimes people ask me, since I'm a pastor, they have this weird belief that I might have an answer of something. And if you're new to this church, I'm so sorry, I'm going to disappoint you at some point. It's just not the case. But sometimes people ask me, Philip, do you think God's fair? They're sharing their story with me, and the reality is that I got to talk to all of you guys. At some point, you could share things you have gone through that are not fair. If I got to talk to every one of you, you would explain to me how you've experienced brokenness in this world, sin in this world, people have hurt you, life has not gone maybe the way you thought it would at all points, and it'd be all true. And then at some point, you may ask, Philip, do you think God's fair? And you're trying to trap me, like a chess match, okay. I was not very good at chess. Here we go. But I'm the kind of person, sometimes I ask a question back to a question, right? Because that's what you do when you don't know the answer. That was the one time for you to, like, write something down in your notes, like, that's pretty good, I'm going to take that. Some of you in your marriages later at night, you know, when your wife asks you a question, man, you're like, the pastor said I can ask a question back. I don't got to answer that. I don't know how this is going to go for you, but praise God. People ask, you know, is God fair? And my question back to that is, define fair. Define fair. Because a lot of times we as humans define fair one way, but I don't think we actually want God to be fair according to human standards. We have an idea of what fair is, but I'm here to tell you, we as humans do not want God to be fair according to the way we think. Because man, if you and I got what we actually deserve, we'd be in trouble. Instead, we're told about a vineyard owner who looks at people who had no hope and no work and invites them to come and work in the vineyard for a full day's wage. We see a character of the king that's generous. It's not always our experience, though. What's so interesting is the Bible actually talks about people like you and I. It's the craziest thing. In the Bible, there's this character, real person, named Job. Some of you are like, I've heard of him. Praise God. Some of you went to Sunday school. Job had what I would say in context, if you don't know anything about Job, Job had experienced the American dream. Job experienced the American dream. Job had great wealth. You know, I mean, that's like the American dream, right? Job had great health. That's why you hope to live in a first world country by the blessing of God. You can have possibly a shot at great health. And Job had a great family. Great wealth, great health, great family. He had everything. And then Job loses it all. He goes from like a multi-millionaire down to nothing. He goes from super fit and healthy down to no health. He has his family. They're all killed off. And all he's left with is just lousy friends. And you're like, that's what I can relate to. I got some lousy friends. Do not look at the people next to you right now. Don't do that. It's all he's got left. And what's so crazy to me about Job is I think Job handles this better than at least I would. Like, it didn't take me losing even one of those three before I started questioning whether God was fair. I didn't have to lose great wealth. I didn't have to lose my health. I didn't have to lose my family before I started questioning whether God was unfair or not. Job loses all three and still doesn't question whether or not God's unfair. He has some questions for God, but he doesn't even get to that point. It's incredible. I want you to look at what happens in Job 38. Job just answers a couple questions. His friends have given some of the worst advice I've ever seen on the face of the planet. Yes, praise God. You can tell them if they were here in church today, they wouldn't be calling. It's all good. So we're like, oh my gosh, it's okay. I don't know if you've been here. It's your first time. We're pretty laid back and chill here. I'm even dressed up today. It's usually a t-shirt. So we're all good. Job 38 says in verse 1, then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? Verse 33 in the same chapter says, do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Sometimes when we read the Bible, I think we put our own context on it, right? Do you ever read the Bible and the way you give a voice tone to God is like harsh or mean or judgmental? I think sometimes we can possibly read those verses and man, it sounds like God's not very loving. I thought that's what these churches told me, God's loving, but I read that and it sounds really harsh. In the times that God has spoken to me, in moments like this, his tone was not harsh. It was firm. God's tone was firm, but gentle. I think he was very firm with Job in these moments, but there's a care that he's even responding. Sometimes we cry out for God to speak to us. I mean, maybe you're here today because you're like, man, I really just need God to speak to me. And then you read Job 38 and you're like, well, maybe not. Maybe I'm okay actually on that. God responds in Job 38, 39, 40, and 41. He just speaks to Job. And he asks all these questions as well. That's where I get the trick of the trade from, is just from the Lord. You answer questions with questions. Job 42. So Job has lost his wealth, his health, his family. He's got some questions. God responds to him for four chapters, just boom, 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 boom. Job encounters the Lord, and look what he says in Job 42. Job 42. It says, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. Things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. Look at verse 5 and 6. This is incredible. I had only heard about you before, but now I've seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. That's incredible that a guy that has lost all his wealth, all his health, has watched his family be killed. That's incredible that now he's had an encounter with God and he says, I take back everything I said. What? In all honesty, if you and I, we didn't have to lose any of those three and we start having questions for God. Job legitimately, if we're being blunt, seems to have a good reason to question God. He questions God, encounters the living God, and ends up saying something so audacious like, I had only heard about you, but now I've seen you with my own eyes and I take back everything I said. That's the guy, he hasn't got his wealth back, hasn't got his health back, hasn't got his family back. All that's changed is from his dreadful, unfair circumstances is he has an encounter with the living God and he says, I take it all back. I take it all back. That's why we're here in Blairsville. It's why we got an overflow room. It's why we're meeting here. It's why we're in Hiawassee. It's why we're streaming out, is this belief that nowadays, even still, if you have an encounter with the living God, it will completely change your life. That's why we're here. It's not to try to grow as a church or do anything like that. It's just this belief that God still moves. He takes people who maybe like in the vineyard story, were on the outside, were on the outskirts, didn't have purpose, didn't have hope. The vineyard owner comes along and invites them because he's generous, says, come join in with me, invites them in, and he changes their life. We believe that. That still happens today. And you could be sitting there and you say, God's been unfair. I would say sin is unfair. I would say this broken world is unfair, but I would say the character of the king is actually generous. Because humans, we tend to not respect our idea of God. Humans tend to not respect the idea of God that we make up, but when humans encounter the living God, we tend to repent and worship. That's why we're here, is a belief that even today, if you have an encounter with the living God, it will change who you are. And it's easy, right? I mean, you're sitting out there, you haven't heard me before. You write me off and you're like, you're a pastor. You're paid to say that. Technically, service gets real weird if I don't show up. Some of you are like, it'd get way better. I'll leave a 1-star review. You're a pastor, so your life's different. Is it? Like, is my life different? Like, I get to experience the God who's fair because I'm a pastor, and because you're not a pastor, you get to experience the unfair God? You want to tell me my life is fair when my wife and I go through a miscarriage? You want to tell me my life's fair then? It's easy to look at someone just because they have a microphone or they talk or they pretend they know what they're talking about. They say their life must be fair because of who they are. God must love them more. It's easy for our experiences to try to tell us God's unfair. But the thing is I've encountered the living God. I'm not talking to you today about something I've heard about. I'm talking to you today about something I've experienced. Like, you want to write me off because I'm a pastor. Some of you know my story. Like, my story was, I grew up in a nice Southern Baptist church. Grew up going to church, and for whatever reason, I grew up with this belief that if I just do good things, God will do good things to me. If I do bad things, God will do bad things to me. It's not really Christianity. It's really like karma, but that's what I believed. And I wanted to have good things happen to me, so I tried to be a good person. Tried to go to church. I tried to be nice to my parents. I attempted to be nice to other people, but I was a young guy, and so that didn't always happen. Try to be a good person, and then after my 9th grade year in high school, we moved to Blairsville, Georgia. And I was popular with where I was at. I was in good social standing. I had everything I could possibly dream of, and I felt like it was all ripped away. And that summer, I got depressed and angry at God. Like, God, I was trying to do the good things, and here you are. You take it all away, and you expect me to believe that you love me? I don't buy it. I was falling into depression, and one of the things I really found an outlet in was playing sports. So that summer when I moved up, I was like, I need to try to find some friends. I need to try to get involved, so I'm going to go to basketball camp, and the first day or two is going really well. And then after a couple games, a couple days in, we're just sitting in between games drinking some Gatorade, and one of the guys looks at me and says, what grade did you say you're going into? I said, I'm going into the 10th grade. And he said, that's weird. I didn't see you at school last year. I said, yeah, that's because I moved up from Florida. And every last one of the guys looked at each other and they never spoke another word to me. I could be wide open for a layup. It wouldn't pass me the ball. And you may think I'm not very athletic, but I promise you I can make a wide open layup. I said, man, I don't even want to be here. And these people don't even want me to be here. God, why would you ever bring me here? I don't want to be here. These people don't want me here. Why am I here? See, God, I knew you didn't love me. That summer, I just decided I'm just going to rebel against God, because if you're going to tell me he loves me, I don't buy it. I get even more depressed. I get addicted to pornography. Start struggling with whether or not I want to end my life. That summer, the day finally comes where I've decided I'm going to end my life. And I go to do it, and God speaks into my life, and he says, I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. And you think, well, yeah, you turned out to be a pastor. That's why God spoke in your life. The craziest thing is I've actually read the Bible. I don't see my name in it one time. You know what I see is John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world, us, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, us, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, us, but to save the world, us. See, when people try to tell me they want God to be fair, I look back at them and say, you don't want God to be fair. Because if God was fair, he would have looked me in that moment where I wanted to end my life, addicted to pornography, rebelling against him, angry at him. A fair God would have looked at me and said, do it. That's what a fair God would have done. So when I start talking about a generous king, it's not a head knowledge. It's what I've experienced. I can relate more to Job when he says, I was talking about things I didn't understand. But now that I've encountered the living God, I take back what I said. You say, well, yeah, he spoke in your life, it changed your life. Well, more context is God spoke into my life that day and said, I've got a plan for you. And I don't think it was because I was overly special, because I think he said, the world. He said, whosoever. He says the same thing to you right now. I've got a plan for you. And I spent the next 3 years living this tense-filled life of knowing God had a plan for me, trying to speak into my life, starting to try to follow God, but still deep down angry and depressed and addicted to pornography. My life was a wreck. And that was the next 3+ years. God spoke into my life, and I still rebelled. And then I go off to college. I'm sitting in a Bible study one night. I don't even remember what they talk about. But God finally spoke to me and said, firmly but gently, Philip, the way you're living your life is not okay. And he was right. And my life began to change that day. So when I talk about the character of the king not being unfair, I'm not talking about a head knowledge. I'm talking about I'm only here today right now because the character of the king is generous. I'm only here today because the character of the king is not fair according to the world's. The character of the king is generous according to the standards of heaven. And you may be here today, and I want to invite you. You may feel like you're on the sidelines. You may feel like you can relate to the person in the story who was standing there without work, had no hope, had no purpose, had no plan. And I'm here to tell you the vineyard owner still says, come participate with me. And we live in a small community. You do something wrong, basically everybody's going to know about it. And it's probably going to sound worse because when you tell a story, you got to add to it. Right? Some of you are like, I can't speak right now, but it's true. I've lived here long enough to know. I know it's true. But the craziest thing is the king of heaven, the vineyard owner, doesn't look at us and go, well, you've messed up, you've sinned, you're on the sidelines. The king of heaven is generous and says, you, whosoever, whosoever, come participate. Come join the king. I tell you point blank right now, we believe revivals come to North Georgia. We're not planning a church. We're not here in a building. We're not streaming online because we just want to play church. It's this belief that, man, if people in our community could experience the living God, it will lead people to repent and to worship God, and our community will begin to change. People will actually love and forgive one another when we encounter the living God. It will change who we are. We're not trying to get people in the building. We're trying to have people encounter God and go out of the building. And so I'm here today. If you're looking for a place, you've been on the sideline, you think God's written me off, people's written me off, I'm here to tell you the character of the king is to invite you to come participate with him now. Not later, not next year, not 3 years, not 10 years, now. That's the grace and generosity of the king is today. Today, you can encounter the living God, and it changes who you are. That's available. And I'm not talking about it because I have a head knowledge about it. I'm talking because this is real. And I want you to experience that. It changes who you are. I remember what my life was like when I was just trying to be a good person. It was a disaster. I remember what life was like when I rebelled against God. It was a dumpster fire. And I could try to put on a facade that everything was okay. But deep down, I knew it wasn't. And maybe that's you today. You're trying on the outside to keep it all together in your own strength. And I'm here to tell you, there's a living God that says you don't have to try. You can trust. But you can't trust in the living God if you think he's, quote, unfair. The living God is generous. That's his character. Are you holding back in your relationship with God because you think he's unfair? Are you holding back going from someone who says, yeah, I don't have anything, and I don't know that I can step into the invitation that the King of Heaven has offered to come participate with what he's doing because I think he's unfair? I would tell you, I don't believe God is unfair. I believe our sinful, broken nature as humans is unfair. Sin is never going to be fair to us. Life is not going to be fair to us. But we don't define the character of the King by what we experience. We define the character of the King by who he is. And it's always been generous. So as we close out, I want to pray. Because at the end of the day, it's still like Job. If we encounter the living God, it changes who we are. So I just want to ask you to bow your head and let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your generosity. I thank you that you have been so kind that you would even allow me to get up and to testify about your character, because I don't deserve it. But I will tell people about the generosity of the King of Heaven. And I pray for people who have gone through very unfair things. I pray for people who have experienced what broken, sinful humans do to one another. I pray for people who now believe because of what sinful human people do to each other that that must be the character of the King as well. And the reality is that's what the enemy wants. He's always telling us, go look at what other people have or don't have. Go look at how you've been treated. Go look everywhere besides looking at the King. Because if we look at other people, we will find jealousy, envy, bitterness, rage. But if we look at the character of the King by himself, we see generosity. And so, Lord, I ask that you do something supernatural and you speak to us. You reveal yourself to us, that you help us have a moment like Job, where we encounter the living God and it changes how we think, it changes how we speak. We start admitting and humbling ourselves before the Lord, saying, God, I did not fully comprehend the living God. I'm sorry. Please pour out your love and your grace upon me. Lord, I'm praying for people who think they have to sit on the sidelines because they've sinned. They think they have to sit on the sidelines because people in the community know what they've done in their past. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, you give them a power and a courage and a boldness to say, I will go serve in the vineyard with the others. I will step into what God has for me. I believe that God can use my life because he's a generous King and he invites me to come participate with him. Give people boldness and courage to not think that's for other people. But God's got a plan for you because it's whosoever believes. That's the one criteria. Whosoever believes. Help us to be a people that believe in the generosity of the King and not try to label him as unfair. God, I pray for people right now as they're struggling maybe with all those emotions that come with how they've been hurt and let down. Lord, I pray that even right now your love and your grace will be poured out. That we can encounter the living God who's generous. Will you please be generous with your love and your grace right now, because we need it. As we close out, maybe you just want a moment to encounter the living God, and the altar is open. You can come pray down front, have a moment with God. If you realize, hey, in this moment, I really need someone to pray with me, our prayer leaders are in the back of the room. They've got green lanyards on right now. They would love an opportunity just to encourage you, love you, support you, because church is not supposed to be a place where you come follow Jesus on your own. It's meant to be together. So if you need prayer, head on back with our prayer leaders. If you want a moment with just you and God, you can come down front. You can stay in your seat. But as we close out, you can stand up, you can stay seated. That's not really important here at Vertical. You can worship from your seat, you can worship standing up, but let's just put our attention and ask God, help us be people who trust in your character, that it's generous.